This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Good morning, everybody. We appreciate you being with us. Damon Amendolara, DA, with you each and every morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. A week from today is Thanksgiving. Yep, coming up fast, isn't it? Which means we got a day full of 3 football games, 2 of which are dogs, but at least the late one is good, Steelers and Ravens. And we've got a day full of turkey and stuffing, mashed potatoes, apple pie, pumpkin pie, ice cream, wine, beer, all the fix-ins to make yourself a happy holiday, hopefully, for you and yours. But we've had a debate here on the DA Show this week. What is the appropriate time to eat the turkey? I don't want to lead the witness here because the witness is as respected in the eating game as anybody in the world. He is a professional competitive eater. Every year he competes in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Competition. He is a 2-time back-to-back wienership champion here on the DA Show, and he is our personal living legend. He crushes the Red Lobster Admiral's Feast as a one-person sitting. Joining us here on the show is our friend Badlands Booker. Badlands, good morning.
Hey, DA, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, man. It's going great. It's always great to hear your voice. And Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is coming up. So let's start with what your day, what your schedule is going to look like. What's your Thanksgiving going to look like?
Well, my Thanksgiving is going to be, you know, me and my wife, we take shifts on cooking, right? She's like more morning person, and I'm the night. So she will do the fixing.
Okay, so she does the fixings, then you do the turkey?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so what time do you wake up to do the turkey?
Hello? I'm sorry.
That's okay, Badlands. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, what time do you wake up to start the turkey?
Well, we do the turkey about... Well, I let her do the turkey. We put the turkey, I say, like early in the morning, like about, you know, 5 o'clock, 5 a.m., 6 a.m., you know, we like to, like, slow bake the turkey. We give it about a good 5 hours to, like, really get all the juices in and stuff like that, right? But I let my wife take care of the turkey. See, my job is to take care of pretty much everything else, you know. You got to have the candy, the macaroni and cheese. You got to have the greens. Oh, man, you got potato salad, macaroni salad. Oh, my God, my mouth's just watering just thinking about all the stuff that we're going to have. But I'm pretty much doing more things around the table My wife takes care of the seafood.
Okay. Now, I know that you're a big seafood fan. Is there any seafood involved in your Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, we might throw a couple of seafood in the oven. Why not?
What was that? A couple of clams in the oven?
No, a couple of salmon. Like pieces of salmon, wild-caught salmon.
Oh, my. So you got turkey and all the traditional Thanksgiving, but also some cuts of salmon going in the oven too, huh?
Yeah. You got to go all out. You know, this is the big turkey day. You know, you can't mess around, okay?
What about shrimp? I know that you love popping shrimp. How about like a shrimp platter?
Yeah, you know, I'll probably put a little shrimp scampi in there. Why not? It's all good.
Okay. All right. Badlands Booker joins us this morning. What time do you sit down to eat Thanksgiving dinner?
We usually sit down around like about 5 o'clock, you know, because it's like that's a lot of time everybody gets to the house. And I mean, it's going to be different this year because of COVID, I know. But like usually, you know, we allow time for everybody to get to the house, you know, get everything, you know, get the aromas going, get the ingestion engines primed for the dinner, you know. So, and then I say about like around 4 or 5 o'clock, we sit around the table and we give thanks, and then we just dig in. And so, like by 6 o'clock, we all just, you know, fed and just relaxing. Our ingestion engines are full. And then, you know, we'll just say, you know, maybe we'll watch a movie or something or do something afterwards. But, you know, I say about like 4 or 5 o'clock.
How many servings at Thanksgiving are you good for?
Well, you got to understand, you know, it's like when it comes to like the servings, do it like a boxing match, you know. It's all about rounds for me, you know. So it's like, should I do an exhibition match where three rounds, should I go for the 10 round, you know, WBC title?
That's amazing. So what do you do from the time you wake up until 5 o'clock? You must be famished smelling all the aromas of the turkey in the house. What are you eating between then and 5 o'clock?
Well, there's a lot of taste testing going on. You got to be just right, you know? Yeah. But the thing about it is with me, it's impossible to my appetite.
What's your favorite side on Thanksgiving?
Oh, man. It's got to be a cross between the candy yams and the stuffing. I also like the mac and cheese. I like the sweet potato pie. Gosh, I can't decide. I like them all. You know me. You know, I got room for everything. So it's just.
You're responsible for the sides. What type of stuffing do you make? Do you go traditional old school stovetop or something else?
We do like a we get like the Arnold stuffing in the bag, you know what I'm saying? Because that stuffing is a little more a little more sturdier. Sometimes we may use the cornbread stovetop stuffing, you know. And then you know, we go the extra mile. We put a little bit of sausage in it, you know, just to make it a little more heartier and everything.
Oh, that sounds pretty good. I've never had the sausage in the stuffing, but I have had that Arnold stuffing, and I really like the cornbread stuffing. I think you're doing it well with the cornbread stuffing.
Yeah. You store no one likes turkey flavor, but the cornbread stuffing is always sold out because that's the best type of stuffing if you want to get stovetop.
I love it. Badlands Booker joining us this morning on the show. What is your next competitive eating event? Do you have one lined up?
It's a little tough now because of COVID, but I think the next one that Major League Eating is doing, they're doing something with DraftKings, right? So they may have an event on Thanksgiving Day, right, to, you know, where they eating turkey and stuff like that. They had one for Halloween. They had the Halloween candy bowl where Joey Chestnut and Matt Stoney, Mickey Sudo and all of them, they were in Vegas and they ate just 6 pounds of Halloween candy, you know. And, you know, Matt Stoney had the upset. Joey was the favorite going in, but Matt Stoney pulled the win. And So I think they're going to do it again for Thanksgiving. You know, I guess you just, you know, y'all check DraftKings.com or check MajorLeagueEating.com, you know, to see if it goes on. But as far as me, I'm just you know, just helping promote the contest. And, you know, I'm just doing my Badlands Chubbs YouTube channel now.
That's awesome. The Badlands Chubbs YouTube channel. Yeah, what's going on the YouTube channel? You got a lot of people that are watching those videos now.
Yeah. Thanks to all the subscribers. I got 2.5 million right now. And basically what I'm doing is just chugging the world one bottle at a time. You know, and you know I'm going to chug some good Thanksgiving stuff. You know, I'm probably make some extra turkey gravy. And you might see a turkey chug out the Dodge boot, okay? So just stay tuned for that.
So you, on Thanksgiving, to your 2.5 million subscribers on YouTube, you might chug gravy out of the bird?
No. That's a good idea, man. I actually have a beer bottle, 2 liters, right? But mess around.
You're gonna chug two liters of gravy out of a boot on Thanksgiving.
Yep. But for you to think about, you gotta watch Day that chugs on YouTube.
I love it. Badlands Chugs on YouTube. 2.5 million subscribers. Can't be wrong. And I saw you're going to be in a comic book, right?
Yeah. Drops, right? He drops. He has, right? Super official. You can go to Dame Comics for information on it. I appear in the second issue. You know, it's called the Melee at Mufongo's. That's a restaurant where that Dame owns out of Connecticut. And I think my superpower, right, is, you know, just, you know, chugging like a gallon full of soda and just doing a Super Infinity War style burp, okay? Just to blow everybody out of the way. I mean, but just check it out. They do have a they did release a preview of the comic is on damecomic.com. So check that out.
Yeah, it's very cool. You tweeted that out as well. Did you say the Melee of Mufongo?
The Melee of Mufongo, yeah. Yeah, because there's going to be a big food fight there, and I just hope I use my super burp powers to save the day. I think the main villain is I think it's a veggie lady. I think we'll be fighting a big celery stalk or something. But you gotta check it out. It's on DaneComic.com. The artwork is really dope. You know, it's Marvel. You know, big ups to Curry Comics for doing it.
It's so cool. Dame Comics, spelled DAYM comic.com, right, to check out the latest. Where Badlands Booker is a superhero and has a galactic burp. Like, that's a superpower.
They got me. I'm looking like Juggernaut with the helmet off.
Well, Badlands, happy Thanksgiving to you, man. It's always wonderful to hear your voice. You're always in such good spirits. I always love talking to you. So happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And I can't wait to see you chug gravy out of that boot coming up next week.
Definitely. Same to you, Dan. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Everybody at the DA show, you know I love y'all. You know, to Morales and everybody. Thank you for having me on. May you have an awesome Thanksgiving. I'll be stuck in front of the TV watching whatever was on, you know, or whatever. And just have an awesome time.
Back at you, buddy. Thanks so much. Okay.
All right. You take care, buddy.
You too. Badlands Booker joining us this morning on the show. He never, ever, ever lets us down. Never lets us down. So, Mraz, that's a win for you. Badlands Booker, who is the most accomplished eater we know, because we do not recognize Joey Chestnut here on the DA show. He says he likes to eat around 5 o'clock, 5:30. That's when he likes to eat his Thanksgiving bird. So that's a win for you.
Badlands Booker is eating Thanksgiving dinner at 5 o'clock. That is when everybody should be eating Thanksgiving dinner at 5 o'clock. I mean, the man is in a comic where a veggie lady is a villain after all.
Now, I didn't know that his YouTube channel had blown up that big. It's called Badlands Chugs, and he has 2.5 million subscribers. This is why I love Badlands. He's been hustling for a long time. You know, it's hard to just make a living out of just, you know, eating, competitive eating. So you have to do other things. So he's been pimping out his headphones. He's also been a train conductor on the side. He's driven the Long Island Railroad?
No. The New York City Subways, which is where he was during that interview, if you're wondering why the phone was breaking up.
Is that right?
He had held up, this is no joke, held up a train stop when it was going to be the time, and the train is currently stalled somewhere in Manhattan, and he climbed to the top of the stairs to do the interview is what he told me was going to happen. Because he wanted so badly to be on the DA show. So somebody is late to work right now because their conductor had to get out of the train and climb upstairs.
He held up train traffic in New York City subway system to do the hit with us.
That's why it was breaking up.
He is incredible. So he does this YouTube channel, and this thing has totally caught fire. And people just watch him chug anything out of this giant boot. When he said it, it sounded like Bird because his reception was breaking up. So I thought, you know, he does all these crazy things. He was going to sip gravy out of the back end of the Bird. But he laughed at that. He was not going to do that. But wouldn't you love to see that, Mraz?
Oh, if he could pick up a whole turkey, hold it by the legs, and shoot gravy down his mouth, Joey Chestnut could ever do something like that. By the way, maybe we'll throw some shrimp scampi in there too, some salmon, sure. And by the way, yeah, COVID's made our Thanksgiving small this year. We'll do 50 scallops instead of 150.
Now, it's interesting that Badlands ended up finding a home with Liquid because, you know, he's eaten so many solids for so many years, but it's a chug thing for him. It's all about chugging on this channel, so... Are you surprised at all to see Badlands, who's known for demolishing Admiral's Feasts from Red Lobster, which feeds a family of four or five singularly, that he has now gone the Liquid route?
No, you know why, DA? Because it's similar to what we've had the conversation with Drew Brees where your arm starts breaking down. I mean, Badlands Booker is like the original competitive eater. He's been in the game a long time. Mm. My assumption is the jaw chewing has broken down for Badlands Booker. So to get the liquefied chugs, and we've seen him, Badlands loves to play sloppy. He loves to play wet. Remember
True.
The Gatorade and everything all over our studio when we were allowed in the studio?
Yeah.
That was all over the place from dunking the hot dogs? The sloppier, the wetter for Badlands, the better. So if he could play with something liquidy and wet, I think that plays to his strengths now at his age.
It's such a good point. He's a good bad weather runner. He likes getting into the slop. He likes playing at Soldier Field. Heinz Field.
He would have ran the Ravens offense better than Lamar last Sunday night in New England. There's no doubt about it.
He's a great bad weather back. He likes when the conditions are sloppy. And I'm watching him right now crush a 64-ounce thick smash burger strawberry shake in that boot. And as he chugs it, he's got strawberry shake all over his face. He's just sipping it out of a boot. He doesn't have to get sloppy with it, but of course he's going to because that's when he's at his natural habitat.
Oh, I love the idea of him watching a movie full at about 6:30 too, snoring on the couch, gravy all over him. That has to be some house, that thing.
Really get all the juices in.
Badlands is amazing. God, he never, ever, ever lets us down. He always does and says something that just leaves you in awe. Like, what did you just say? What are you doing?
I just hope I use my super burp powers.
He's in a comic book where his superpower is a burp.
Fighting a celery stalk.
Nobody's been more proud to be unhealthy than Badlands Booker.
Chugging the world one bowl at a time.
No one has fought the evils of health and wellness and nutrition quite like Badlands Booker. He is an American treasure. I'm so glad we found him. And he was your hero. He was your idol growing up, right?
He was. I mean, a lot of people would point to a Mickey Mantle, maybe a Michael Jordan. for me, anybody who's that large and can represent the large masses of us and eat like that and show that it is a sport, that's absolutely a guy that you should idolize in life.
Because you grew up watching the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. This was before Joey Chestnut's reign over everything. And before that, Badlands was the guy that you felt was kind of like the A-lister and had the most swagger.
And I don't want to pat myself on the back. The day and age for social media, I was like the first one of anybody I knew that got into competitive eating and watching the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Shocker. And back in the day, I mean, when it was Kobayashi, it was like Badlands was his main competitor for a long time.
Right.
I mean, he was the OG, as he calls him, the original guy. So, yeah, how could you not gravitate towards it? And, in fact, I've told this story, I believe, on the air. There was a 4th of July years ago where I was coming home from my grandparents' house a few towns over, and Badlands lives on Long Island, and we're on the parkway driving home, and I see all these back decals on a truck saying Badlands competitive eating, Booker, and I said, hold on, there's no way Badlands Booker is next to us on the parkway. We sped up, this is well before the DA show, and sure enough, there was Booker and his wife driving home from Coney Island on the 4th of July, and all you saw on their dash, on their front dash, Nathan's cups everywhere. It was like he took home 40 sodas with him, and they were everywhere. We started honking the horn saying, we love you, we love you. And he's waving with his wife going nuts. Booker driving home from his own events. And from that, and that really cherished me. It was like, wow, he is one of us. So it was great to see him now and be friendly with him now.
Kobayashi was the dynasty of the early 2000s. He had won 5 consecutive Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contests from 2001 until 2006. He was unbeatable. It was in 2007 when Joey Chestnut then took the throne. Chestnut since then has been a dominant force, even though we don't recognize him here on the DA show. Joey Chestnut won 07, 08, 09, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. Matt Stoney upset him in 2015.
That's right.
But Chestnut has won ever since, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So he has just had an absolutely dominant run. I think he's won 13 of the last 14.
Wow.
Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. But as you mentioned, if you go back to the early 2000s when Kobayashi is the dominant force, his biggest competitor is Badlands Booker. Now, 20 years later, Badlands rarely finishes anywhere close to the top. He's not usually in the top 3 or top 4. Yeah. Badlands is usually there because he's a historical artifact. I mean,
right.
Badlands has been bringing that game to the hot dog eating contest for the better part of 25 years.
Yeah, Vince Carter on the Hawks was not Vince Carter in the slam dunk contest with the Raptors. That's similar
exactly
kind
right.
of run, if I could put it.
That's exactly right. Now, if you want to know when the first hot dog eating competition was held, it was 1967 when a guy by the name of Walter Paul won it. They took off 5 years after that, and then on Memorial Day, it was a guy by the name of Jason Schechter, and then they held another one on Labor Day. It really didn't become the annual rite of passage until the 80s. And way back when, this is kind of crazy, but a German winner was in 1984, Bergy Felden won it. That sounds like he was French, but I don't know. I think it says German right there.
And then
but only recently has it become kind of the great American.
Yeah.
Holiday and the great American contest on that holiday.
And they like hot dogs in Germany, so you expect more German winners.
Yeah. The inventors of the Frankfurter.
That's right. Frankfurt, Germany. It's a city.
When we come back here on the show, we are stunned to a news. Aren't you happy we brought you Badlands Booker today? We told you we'd make you smile today. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being with us this fine Thursday morning. Remember to watch us at watchda.com. That's available on any device. Simply go to watchda.com on your phone, on your tablet, on your laptop, on your desktop. Also, you can watch us on Twitch. We have such an awesome growing audience on Twitch. So thanks for watching us there. If you're watching on either one of those two places, you are watching during commercial breaks more DA Show classic content. The Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, is running the best of clips historically. So you're getting the best of the DA show's history plus Nomad episodes as well. So it's such a cool experience. On Twitch, it's the CBS Sports Radio channel, and on watchda.com, that's available without a sign up, without a cable provider needed, nothing, no subscription fee. It's free. Wherever you are, just go to watchda.com in your browser and you are good to go. Deuce McAllister is going to join us. Saints Hall of Famer coming up next hour. We'll talk about the severity of this injury to Drew Brees and who he thinks should take over the offense. Should it be Jameis or should it be Taysom Hill? But standing by with our headlines right now is Andrew Bogues. Bogues, did you enjoy the appearance of Badlands Booker last segment?
How could you not enjoy it? I mean, he's the best. He's just the best.
He's just the best in every single way. And can you believe there's 2.5 million people subscribed to his channel to watch him drink stuff out of a glass boot?
I mean, we're on a service, right? Thought was made famous for people watching others play video games. So people watch other people do a lot of crazy things. But you know what? I might sign up for a gravy boot. I love gravy. I don't know if I could chug it, but I could eat that much maybe over all of Thanksgiving.
You know, I don't know if you're looking for stocking stuffers for your kids, especially your youngest, but I think, judging from some of his Halloween costumes, he's a big superhero fan. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Might you think about adding to his stocking a Badlands Booker comic book where he fights against the evils of the celery woman and teaches everybody how important it is to be as sloppy and slovenly as it gets and overeat really unhealthy things and saves the world with an intergalactic belch? Would you be interested in maybe giving that to your son this Christmas?
I mean, it sounds like life lessons that every kid should have. I mean, aside from making them not read, if you're going to make them read things like this, right?
I have to say, I'm very intrigued by this comic book. I'm going to do a real serious deep dive into this and see if I can get one of these, because I don't have kids, but there's somebody in my life that probably needs to read the Badlands Booker comic book. And be inspired.
It's you.
Intergalactic belch.
My super burp powers.
Super burp.
No one has fought against that that food pyramid over the course of his life quite like Badlands Booker. 6 servings of vegetables and fruits. Get that out of here. Only 1 serving of meat?
At least he's having some healthy salmon on Thanksgiving. That's good.
Home economics teacher, did you say more than 6 servings of milk or cheese per day is unhealthy?
But it's good if it's in a boot and you chug it in 30 seconds.
The teacher blows back into the wall. Blown through the school wall.
The reverse Kool-Aid man.
What did you say my cholesterol level was? Physician is tossed into the Long Island Harbor, into the Sound. AB has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, where do we begin?
These ones are sponsored by Geico.
Wait.
Do you
rent? I just need to know if somebody does buy the comic book. Does he actually defeat a celery stalk with a burp by the end? Is that how the celery stalk dies? Because he burped through the celery stalk.
Way more fascinating than the death of Superman or anything else I could imagine. Does green celery die? The hero, or in this case, the villain of the story. The death of green celery. I will save the earth from all of you evil vegetarians.
So here
he chugs, he chugs a boot of gravy to get the burp. It's like that's in his side pouch. Let me summon the power for my intergalactic super burp by chugging 2 liters of gravy This will teach you green celery.
The power of sodium compels you.
Chugging the world one bottle at a time.
Oh, my God. This guy's amazing. All right. Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's okay. It's all sponsored by Geico. Do you rent your home? Sure you do. Geico makes it easy to bundle renters and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Some have called it the most juiceless NBA draft in our lifetime. It certainly lacked a surefire top player, which wasn't great news for the T-Wolves, who were picking first for the second time in team history. Minnesota went with Georgia guard Anthony Edwards to play alongside D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns. Here's their GM, Gersan Rosas.
Fit helps in the long term, but in the short term, it's just about evaluating the best talent. And we're fortunate he ended up being a guy that, you know, is a wing. But for us, it's just the full talent evaluation.
With the second pick, the Warriors took Memphis center James Wiseman. While wondering if they just lost Klay Thompson again, he suffered a possible Achilles injury during a workout yesterday, an MRI this morning. Thompson is just about back from his torn ACL from the 2019 finals. Back to the draft, the Hornets used the third pick on LaMelo Ball. Then the first surprise of the night came courtesy of the Bulls, who drafted FSU's Patrick Williams. His teammate, Devin Vassell, taken 11th by the Spurs. But ACC buddies Duke and North Carolina didn't have a lottery pick for the first time since 2013. Here in New York, Dayton forward Obi Toppin stealing hearts by sobbing about becoming a Knick with the eighth pick.
New York's been down a couple years, and I feel like with the guys they have now and myself adding to that, I feel like we're gonna win a lot of games, and we're gonna put New York back on the map for sure.
The Knicks got two more players.
Slow down.
In around
a lot of games.
Night.
No, they will not be winning a lot of games. That does not happen at MSG.
And only down for a couple of years, not a couple of decades.
Yeah, 20.
It's two decades, right? Mm-hmm. It's a couple. Give them that. The Knicks did get two more players in round one, Argentinian guard Leandro Bolmaro and then Kentucky guard Emmanuel Quickley. With the draft now behind us, don't forget that free agency begins tomorrow. Now we hear Bruce Arians talk in circles about Antonio Brown's latest mess up.
He's been a model citizen. If and when he's not, we'll move on. He knows that. Our team knows that. So it's just I don't really think we're going to have any problems. We haven't had any so far, and I really would not anticipate any.
That was Arians on SiriusXM NFL Radio last night. He's referring, of course, to Brown destroying a security camera and throwing his bike at a security shack at his housing development in Florida in October. It happened right before the Bucks signed him, so that makes it okay, if I'm understanding Arians' logic correctly. Since he hasn't technically misbehaved as a Buccaneer, it's okay. And there was no follow-up. There was nothing about, like, hey, why is this not a thing? Why, you know, what he did seems bad. One question and done. And that was the answer, which continues to basically not make sense from everybody associated with the Buccaneers.
Do you think that Giselle is worried at night that Antonio Brown is living and sleeping in her home with her children?
I mean, my guess is that he's actually not in their physical house. There's got to be another some kind of four wall with a roof structure, a pool house, a guest house on this huge property they have in Tampa. So my guess is, again, he's not under technically their roof. But yeah, I'm sure she's like, what are we doing with anybody, let alone like just how bad he might be. But like, why would you have any other relative stranger living on your property at this point? But him in particular, I would think that she's being a little skeptical.
Yeah, Giselle's 0-2 now. She has wanted Tom Brady to retire for multiple years. He's still playing, and now he's putting up his teammates in their house.
Right. He's running a halfway house in their Tampa Bay mansion.
Now, maybe Antonio Brown has a wing that's so far away, and there's multiple levels of security or what have you, but gosh, with how temperamental he is and how unpredictable his behavior is. And since I don't think they really know him that well, I mean, he had like a week and a half last year with Tom Brady. I mean, look, it's like when you have the in-laws over and they stay at your house for 10 days, you're like, well, it's, I don't know, it's a long time. Imagine just having a random teammate stay at your house, one that has been in trouble and legal problems for years now how unsettling that might be for the family. I mean, I kind of wish that this was the Facebook show that he had, Tom versus AB security or whatever. I mean, who cares about him kissing his kids on the lips? I'd rather see what do they do at dinner with Antonio Brown around the house.
Odds that he's ordered something that Tom Brady didn't approve of on the cable package that'll come up on the bill.
Oh, my God. 99%. No doubt. But it's like a perfect stranger situation. Oh, Antonio, you did it again. Come on, Tom, we do the happy dance. Did I do that? That's Antonio Brown's catchphrase.
Mets second baseman Robinson Cano defended himself strongly after his first PED suspension back in 2018. Silent so far after number two.
Oh,
Cano will miss all of the coming season and doesn't get his $24 million salary. And finally, more Maction. This is unconfirmed, but I think Western and Central Michigan's played last night to become the new Wolverines, and Western won 52-44, so they now represent all of Michigan when it comes to college football.
That's now the big house.
Yep, and now, boys, we are stunned.
Woohoo!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Guys, we've been told more than once after breaking down a stunned like this that we would be bad criminals, which again really is a compliment. I don't want to be a good criminal. I want to not know how to commit crimes, but I do think that we would have at least avoided the mistake that this gentleman allegedly made in what is our first Puerto Rican man stunt. A lot of Florida man, but now we have a Puerto Rican man. Okay. Fernando Leon Berdasia allegedly stole $1,300 worth of items from a San Juan Home Depot on Monday night. And he did so while wearing his police officer's uniform. Now, I'm not sure if he forgot what he was wearing or thought that people would go, oh, that's a cop, he can't be stealing all that lumber. But I assume you're supposed to be incognito, not in an easily identifiable uniform when you're stealing things. But he allegedly was, only for now, though, temporarily suspended, I guess, while the legal process plays out, from being the officer whose uniform he was in when he stole things from Home Depot.
I wonder what he stole to get to $1,300, because, you know, Home Depot, of course they've got lumber, but it would take a lot of lumber to get to $1,300. Is it like a big piece of equipment? Is it some type of big piece of machinery? I mean, $1,300, that's a lot. And definitely, as you said, you have to put it on that cart and then wheel it out to your car. Because it's not like you can collect and put under your somehow under your coat or your uniform or in your pockets $1,300 worth of stuff. So you've got to load up that rolling cart and just push it right out of that Home Depot and right to your car and put it in the car and just leave. It's a bold move, but I think, AB, your theory is right. He's wearing the uniform thinking, by wearing my uniform, nobody's going to stop me. And
yeah, I mean, I can't.
It goes to show you, I mean, there's a lot of distrust in institutions and the police force and those and the government in San Juan and Puerto Rico. This might be part of the reason. Cops think they could just go in there with their badge and steal whatever they want in broad daylight.
Right. You can commandeer a car, but can you, like, commandeer a new sink and some tiles for your bathroom remodel? I don't know if you can do that.
Oh. This guy just wheels out, yeah, like a new washer and dryer set. I got it. I'm going to be fine over
this
here.
This is evidence. I'm taking it back to the headquarters for interview, to interview it.
Self-checkout. That's just self-checkout. That's excellent. Mraz, you know,
Sean
you have a Home
Depot.
Sean
seems actually stunned.
No.
You have a Home Depot right near you.
I do. I have a Lowe's and a Home Depot both within walking distance. And I could tell you that upon my stepfather-in-law just rebuilding a swing set, he spent like $1,000 on lumber alone. So I know the lumber could add up there. So I'm just thinking to myself, I wonder if this guy is stealing to build a swing set, because I know that that cost is pretty much added up here. And I've also thought about that in Lowe's with those big wheelie carts. You know, if you wheel out and you just look like you paid, how would anybody notice? But clearly this guy had that same kind of thought.
It's the greatest ethical quandary I think many of us ever face. Whatever is on the bottom of your shopping cart, that lower rack, it could be a case of beer, it could be toilet paper, it could be lumber at Home Depot, all of the stuff that's underneath that the cashier rarely sees, do you fess up and bring it to the surface? Or do you try to just push that thing forward and then see if she goes or he goes, hey, you got that 24-pack of Dr. Pepper under there. You go, oh, sorry, forgot about it under there. I know that everybody deals with this because we all look on this lower shelf and go, boy, they would never see this if I just push it out. But I always go, but you know what? I mean, come on. This is, I know that this is the wrong thing. I know that I would get caught. I know that the security cameras would, somebody would tackle me 5 feet up there, and I'm not risking that humiliation for $13 worth of beer.
Right. Yeah, I accidentally stole a dozen eggs last week. Same kind of deal. So it happens.
It was on the lower rack of
top, that, you know, like the top, if you will, where the kid would sit. I had like my bring your own bag situation sitting on that, and I had slid the eggs under there because I didn't want anyone else crushing them. And by the time I didn't go through the bags I didn't use, I got to the car, loaded up, and went, oh man, I forgot to pay for these eggs. I wasn't going back in. The eggs were mine.
Petty theft. What was that? 99 cents? $1.99?
Yeah, it was $1.99. I felt guilty about it, but yeah, who's going back in the store at that point? What's minus mine?
And you have
less
ethics.
Three strikes and you're out.
Yeah.
You have less
ethics.
You've
already had the
and a moral code than all of us. So how often do you, Merez, think about stealing whatever is in that bottom rack of your grocery cart?
All the time. But remember, D.A., I come from supermarket lineage, so I know that the money goes in those people's pockets. I would never do that.
Well, you think that if somebody steals a 12-pack of Blue Moon out of Food Town, that it comes out of Bob the Deli Man's pocket?
No, but the more people that are stealing those Blue Moons, the more less revenue on inventory. I know how big a deal inventory is. The more that store loses, the more they're going to do cutbacks, and the more somebody gets laid off like my father. So, no, I would never do that. It's a trickle-down effect.
Home Depot, have you ever thought about having a piece of lumber in there to build Taylor a swing set? And
of
you
course.
You just don't scan it?
Of course, I spend enough money there, but ultimately, I'm a man of the people. I don't want to see anybody lose their job because I'm being a thief.
Okay.
Now, if I don't notice, I stole it. Whatever.
To be fair, out of everybody on this show, and that includes Pete, Mraz, I think, is the most likely to knowingly steal something in his grocery cart.
Oh, get lost.
No.
You think Pete?
Yeah, Pete. Yes. We know this. Pete steals a third of his lunch. Pete would definitely put something underneath there and try and get himself out without being caught. Something small, but it adds up.
Well, so we're basing this on the time that Pete went to the Weigh Your Lunch buffet and he put his finger underneath
the times the
underneath
Pete did
this. The container so that it wasn't as heavy on the scale.
You and the time that he robbed you of a sandwich. Yes, there are.
Well, he didn't rob me. I offered to buy him the sandwich. He just brought it home to eat it.
That's stealing.
That's stealing now?
Yes.
When we come back, Robinson Cano, the biggest idiot going. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You and CBS are looking good.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Thursday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us here on a DA Show's morning edition, as always. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you rent or own, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Robinson Cano must be the biggest flipping idiot going. The man is already still got 3 more years on his contract, guaranteed at $24 million per. That's $72 million left on his contract at 38 years old. The Mariners overpaid him when he was a free agent coming out of the Yankees. The Mets should have never traded for him either. And yet, now disgraced Mets GM Brody Van Wagenen traded for him and Edwin Diaz. He wanted a closer and was forced to take on Cano's contract. He gave away a good prospect in return. So what happened? Diaz became a disaster and Robinson Cano a liability. And at 38 years old, Robinson Cano can do nothing, absolutely nothing. He barely has to show up to the ballpark as long as he ties his cleats and puts on a uniform. Hey, and that's only if he's not injured. He collects $72 million over the final 3 years of this deal. And this dope, this bozo, who already has a strike against him with a positive PED test, does it again. Tests positive again, which means he's done for the entire 2021 season, gone for next season, and sacrifices a full $24 million of his salary. Could you be so stupid? You don't have to hit. You barely have to play to collect $24 million. And now you can't do that. You got to sit this one out, you moron.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.